You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
You turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, and then also in your bulletin is what we call a listening guide, where you can pull that out and take some notes. There'll be a pen in front of you and the pew rack in front of you. Today is a great celebration of Easter, and it's also a celebration for us as a church, because right now as we speak, for the first time in decades, there's a worship service of Houston's First Baptist Church going on in downtown Houston. So that's pretty exciting in our downtown campus. Let's just kind of give a round of applause for that and excitement. And downtown's watching us on video right now, and so we're excited about that. Back in downtown with our downtown campus where we were decades ago, and then here at the Loop as well. So in your Bibles, in John chapter 20 is where we're going to be and where we're going to start off. I want you to think back and to go back to the 1920s in Soviet Union in Russia. In the Soviet Union, as you know, if you know your history a little bit, there's a desire in that communistic country to basically say that atheism was the way, that there is no God, that Christ is not the Son of God, that Easter is just a foolish waste of time. It's a farce. Well, in the 20s, they sent this man that was one of the strong leaders of the Communist Party there at the time. His name was Nikolai Bukharin, and he was sent from Moscow to Kiev, and he went there to be able to tell this great crowd that assembled, to declare to them that there is no God, that Jesus Christ is false, that Easter is not true, that Christ, if he did live, he's still in the tomb somewhere, but he is not risen, he is not resurrected from the dead. So he got up and he declared this eloquent message of atheism and of agnosticism, and to be able to say there's no Christ, he hasn't risen, there is no God. Everyone patiently sat there and listened to his hour speech upon this subject. And then the Orthodox priest stepped up and thanked the man and said, "Thank you for coming, sir." And he said to the crowd, "He is risen." And the crowd responded back, "He is risen indeed." The crowd had heard for an hour about there is no God, but they were convinced in their heart that there was a resurrected Savior. And I want us to look this morning and to see that the most convincing thing of the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest apologetics, meaning proving the faith, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you could hear for an hour that God does not exist, but if you know in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you could say he is risen and he is risen indeed. And God can change our lives with that. So for the other 364 days a year, this one day gives us in our times of loneliness that he's risen indeed. It gives us in our times of worry, he's risen and he's risen indeed. It gives us in our times where our faith is shaky, he's risen and he's risen indeed. Now I want you to see in the scriptures in John chapter 20 verses 1 through 10. We're going to start with the first character. Her name is Mary Magdalene. The song that we sang earlier, the solo that Laurel did for us, was a song from Mary Magdalene. Basically, putting her words to song is what somebody did. She was a person that in the Gospels it tells us seven demons were cast out of her. The tradition tells us that she was a prostitute. So much that in the 7th century, they began to call somebody that was rescued out of prostitution, that was pulled from that and came to Christ, they called her a Magdalene. It was a statement of redemption of a prostitute. That's the kind of woman that we're going to see headed to the tomb. So if you think you're too far gone, you're not. Verse 1. On the first day of the week, that Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. The one Jesus loved. Now that's John. He calls himself the one that Jesus loved. And said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Let's stop there for just a second. She runs to the tomb. Jesus' body is gone. See, what they would do, the Greeks and Romans, they would cremate a body. The Egyptians would embalm a body, but the Jewish folks, they would take linen cloths and they would make these cloths and they would wrap the body in these cloths and they would put frankincense and myrrh and spices in the cloths.
In John chapter 19, it tells us that 75 pounds of spices were put into the burial of Jesus. So the whole thing with the cloths could weigh 100, 120 pounds. She goes to the tomb, and she thinks that the robbery has taken place at the grave. There has been a grave robber that has stolen the body. She doesn't run to the tomb and go, resurrection. She runs to the tomb and thinks that there's a grave robbery. It's very common in those days, particularly in wealthy tombs. Jesus is buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man, so it makes sense that somebody would go to his tomb and try to find something that would be in the tomb to steal. But Jesus wasn't buried with anything because he didn't own anything. So they thought that he had stolen the body, that a grave robber had come. And Mary begins to run back. Other accounts of the story tell us that she's running back with another Mary as well. And they get to John and they get to Peter and they declare, his body's gone, his body's gone. And they're just excited and scared and afraid and just talking. And an interesting verse is found in Luke chapter 24. I want you to hear, because this has been the battle of men and women all this time. This is what it says in Luke chapter 24. They did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Men, it's scripture. It's right here for us. But ladies, you end up with the biggest I told you so in the entire scripture. He's risen. He's gone. I told you so. I told you the body wasn't in there. So we see even this connection between men and women. They think that they have stolen the body, but there's going to be something that flips the switch in their mind. They're going to see and they're going to realize the evidence of God's power. Do you realize the evidence of God's power? Are you underwhelmed by Easter? Are you overwhelmed by the evidence of God's power? Have you seen him this year do miracles in your life, provide for you in ways that you should not have been provided for, forgive you and give you grace? Have you seen the evidence of God in your life, his power, that he's healed somebody you've been praying for? He's answered a prayer. Have you seen the evidence of God's power that he's taken somebody to heaven and he's healed them eternally, though he didn't heal them here on earth? Many of you right now are thinking, you know what? I haven't seen the evidence of God's power this year. I want to show you two evidences of God's power. Take a deep breath. Who put the oxygen in front of your mouth for that breath? Make your heart stop beating right now. And then you and your strength and wisdom start it beating again. Just your very body and breath is the evidence of God's power. They see a stone rolled away. They see angels. They see the body is gone. They're going to realize it's resurrection in just a bit. And they run back from the tomb and they tell John and Peter, go. You got to figure this out, guys. His body's gone. Somebody took it. Now look at what happens in verse 3. And at that, what? His body's gone. At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Don't you love John? He tells you, I'm faster than Peter. Men, you can relate, can't you? We need to realize we got the victory. Okay, so he outran Peter. Verse 5. I want you to see in this. Stooping down, he saw, other versions say looked into, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came also. He entered the tomb and saw the cloths lying there. The wrappings that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. Verse 8. The other disciple who reached the tomb first, just wanted you to know I won, then entered the tomb and saw and believed, for they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the grave, and then the disciples went home again. There are three saws in this, three levels of seeing. And we're going to look at this and see and unpack these steps of faith. See, the closer you get to the tomb, the more you see, the closer we come to the tomb, the greater the vision is of our life. The closer we get to the resurrected tomb of Jesus Christ, the greater the vision gets to be of our life. So we're going to see three different steps using this word saw. That they saw things differently. One step, two step, three steps. And I want to ask you, which one of these are you on? Which one of these are you on? So then you can take the next step in it. Now, my grandfather was a great guy. My dad's dad, he's passed on and gone on to heaven now. But grandfathers are great people. Because every time I get to my grandfather's house, he'd have a Winn-Dixie brand root beer for me. Never would he splurge for A&W. He was a man of the Depression. Winn-Dixie was just as good. Then we'd end up with some store-bought kind of brand ice cream. We'd have a root beer float. I'd walk in the door and just grandfather kind of stuff. I called him Pop. Pop would just say different things. He taught me the important things of life, like how to spell Mississippi. He taught me that. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-S-I-P-P-I. And then he tried to teach me the crooked letter humpback, you know, all that version of Mississippi too. He would walk, I'd walk in the door and he'd say, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. And he'd slap high fives with me. But the most important thing that I remember him teaching me was this phrase. I saw in Arkansas, that's what I saw. He'd say that all the time. And when you're a grandfather, you don't have to say things that even make sense. It's okay. Everybody loves you. So he'd say that all the time. I saw in Arkansas, that's what I saw. And I still don't really even know what that means. But, you know, for a little squirt, it's just endearing to just have your grandfather just say things that you kind of memorize together and joke around. Well, we're going to see some saws here is what we're going to see. Three different saws, S-A-W, that it looks the same to us in English, but it's rich in the Greek. One's in verse 5, one's in verse 6, and one's in verse 8. I want you to underline them as you get to them. Verse 5. Stooping down, he, that's John, saw, underline that in your Bible, saw the linen cloths. Then following him, Simon Peter also entered the tomb. Notice he went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. Verse 8, the end of verse 8. Then John entered the tomb and saw and believed. Saw and believed. These men ran to the tomb. They took off running. Men in this culture did not run. They did not run in public like that. These guys have been walking with Jesus, and they ran to the tomb. The first saw that we get to is this. John saw. He saw. He didn't go in, but he saw. It's a Greek word, blepo. And it is means to observe, but not to understand. There's many things that we observe, but we don't understand. C.S. Lewis said, if you only believe in the things that you understand, you will write your creed on the back of a postage stamp. I believe in electricity, but I don't completely understand electricity. I see electricity at work, but I don't understand how it all works. I can see a seed, I can see a flower, but I don't understand botany enough to tell you every step in between. I see a human body, I see an eye, I see an ear, but I can't tell you that I understand sight and hearing and heart and lungs and kidneys and livers. I don't understand all those things, but I see the human body. John saw, but he didn't go in, and this Greek word says observing but not understanding. There's many things in our life that we observe but we don't understand. Let's just get real practical. Marriage, we observe it, but we don't really understand it all the time, do we? All you need is love. That's what the Beatles say, but look at their marriages. See, love for a human being is, we are limited in our resources as human beings. All you need for marriage is Christ because he's unlimited in his resource. Love in you and in me is limited. And at some point in your marriage, you're going to go dry. So you got to have two people going for Jesus because he is the one that is unlimited in his resource. So we see marriage, but do we understand it needs Christ at the center? We see singlehood, but many singles are just railing against singlehood. Just wait until this chapter is over. They see it, but they don't understand. God's chiseling them, sanding them, so that they can be more usable in His hands and then even be better prepared for that marriage one day. Because they're undistracted in their singlehood, they can be used by God in a great way. We see, but do we understand singlehood? We see parenting, but do we understand parenting? Parenting is not the guiding or the managing, I should say. Parenting is not the managing of your child's activities and actions. You're not just managing their activities and actions. It's not just take them to point A to point B. Don't do this, do that. That's managing activities. Parenting is guiding the heart. And when you understand parenting, it's guiding the heart. And when you guide the heart, the activities will take care of itself. And that's good because they're going to leave your house and you want the activities to continue to walk on. And you've guided the heart, so you've sent them out. Do we understand our work? Or do we just observe it? I just go there for a paycheck. No, you go there to make a difference, to contribute to society, to make a difference with your coworkers or your clients. That's understanding. John saw, he observed, but he didn't understand. He didn't go in. You know why he didn't go in? He didn't go in because he was the disciple that saw the cross. He was at the foot of the cross. And he probably didn't want to see the gore of the body. He knew what the cross was like. He observed, but he didn't understand. When I was growing up, my parents are divorced, grew up in a single mom, single parent home. And my mom would go to work, and so I would go to school. And when I would come home from school, I was too little to stay home by myself, so I would go with this other family, and I would go to their house with their two kids, and they would watch me every day after school. And so they were great people, just wonderful people still to this day. And so they would watch me, and I would go home. Then my mom would pick me up after she would get home from work and take me home. Well, I would stay with this family. They were the Hildenbrands. The lady that was the lady in the home, her name was Gisela Hildenbrand. Does that sound German to you? Gisela Hildenbrand, great lady. And so I would go to Gisela Hildenbrand's house, and I got to be friends with their kids, and we would, you know, hang out. So she would work part-time a little bit for Gulf Oil, and one time she got the baseball tickets for the Astros from Gulf Oil. So she took all of us, and we went, sat in the Gulf Oil season tickets right there at the Astrodome back in the day, and sat there, and Gisela had never been to a baseball game. Never seen a baseball game, never been to one, and here she is sitting down for the first time. The batter comes up to the plate, he lifts up his bat, and she says in a huge Autobahn Oktoberfest German accent, loud voice, "What does the man with the stick do?" Now, if you're a baseball fan, you know it's kind of a slow sport. So the answer oftentimes is absolutely nothing is what he does with that. But we tried to answer the question as everybody in our section of the Astrodome turned and looked and went, what in the world? And just, she was observing, but she wasn't understanding. You may be here at church in Easter and you're observing, but you're not understanding. Why are they raising their hands? Why is this such a big deal? I mean, the Bible, like, this is such an old book. I mean, it doesn't even make sense sometimes. You're asking the question, what does the man with the stick do? The man with the stick is Jesus, and the stick is the cross. And what he does is he saves your soul. So that you move from just observing but not understanding to the next saw, which is what Peter has. Look in verse 6. Then following him, Simon Peter came. He entered the tomb. Notice he gets closer. His vision is more clear as he gets closer. He enters the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. He saw. This saw means examining or investigating. Examining or investigating. It's a different Greek word. To examine or to investigate. See, these cloths, what is so amazing about this, he didn't cut down the side and wiggle out. He didn't unwrap himself. You don't see him trying to wiggle out of the deal. Lazarus in chapter 11 of John, they say, take off the grave clothes. They didn't tell Jesus to take off the grave clothes. Watch what happened. This is what convinces them as they investigate. He wasn't resuscitated. He was resurrected. He didn't wiggle out of the grave clothes. He stepped out of the grave clothes. His resurrection body stepped out. So when they looked at the grave clothes, they were perfect lying there. He stepped out in this resurrection body. A resurrection body that the disciples will lock the door and be afraid in the upper room. He'll end up just coming through the wall, basically, in the upper room. Resurrection body, they'll say, Thomas, touch my hands, touch my side. Resurrection body, that he'll eat fish at the end of John when we get there in a few weeks. Resurrection body, that he'll be walking on the road with him, and then he'll just be gone. And they'll say, didn't our hearts burn as he was talking to us? He stepped through the grave clothes, and when they saw the grave clothes, they said, he is risen indeed. There's no way that the body was stolen. It's there. Peter entered and he saw and he investigated. Are you observing without understanding, or have you taken the step to investigate? Just investigate. If you proclaim yourself to be an agnostic or an atheist, at least read the New Testament before you declare yourself such. Just in an intellectual pursuit, read the New Testament and then declare yourself to not believe. The third Greek word is this. It's found in verse 8, at the end. Then John entered the tomb and he saw and believed. It's a different Greek word. It means to understand, to click. It means it has clicked. He understood. Have you ever seen something and you're like, somebody's pointing out, look right over there. I got it. It clicks. You're doing a math problem. You're doing a study. I can't get it. Now I can. It clicks. I understand it. I see it, and I believe. John uses the word believe 100 times in his gospel. He sees it, and he believes it. So here we go from observing but not understanding. Is that you? To investigating. I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to investigate. To I see it, and I believe. I've been on all three of those words. Why do y'all all go to church? That seems boring. Wow, maybe there's something going on because my heart feels empty. I'm missing something. Maybe there is something to this God thing. Maybe there is something to this Jesus thing. I see, and now I believe. When I was 16 years old, I saw and believed. It clicked for me. I was partying and drinking and doing crazy stuff and all the junk that goes along with that. Somebody shared Christ with me. Told me that the man with the stick had died in my place. My sin had been put on the cross and he died for me. And I prayed and received Christ to be my Savior. That I put my faith in his death on the cross. The man with the stick was now my Savior. So now I could trust that when I die, I'll be resurrected because of him. I'll go to heaven because of him. It clicked, and I understood, and I still hadn't gotten over it. Still hadn't gotten over it because it changes your heart. Take one more step of where you are on this progression. See and believe. Look at verse 10 for our last point. Then the disciples went home again. Then the disciples went home again. Easter sends us home amazed. Easter sends us home amazed. We don't leave times of realizing the resurrection. We don't go home the same. It changes our parenting. It changes our marriages. It changes our singlehood. It changes our work. It changes us because the I am changes who I am. And Easter sends us home amazed. They returned amazed by what God had done. What a thought that is. Where are you? Take the next step. Close with this illustration and a poem, and we'll worship for just a moment and be dismissed. The year was 1799. Napoleon was sweeping through Europe and basically taking over the continent. One of his greatest leaders was Andre Messina. And Andre Messina was leading this army across the European countryside, and they arrived at this small little village. And when they arrived at this village, the village, as you can imagine, panicked. They thought, what are we going to do? Napoleon's army is coming against us. They're coming after us. So they gathered everybody together in the town, and they said, well, what do you think we should do? And all the elders of the town, the mayors and the city council people and all the religious folks got together, and they started talking about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Until finally one of the priests stood up and he said this, my brothers, it is Easter day and the rays of the rising sun are glistening. We have been reckoning and depending upon our own strength, and our strength fails. Let us turn to God, ring the bells, and let us have